reading from Numbers 32, verse 6 and 7. But Moses said to the people of Gad and to the people of Reuben, "Shall your brothers go to the war while you sit here? Why will you discourage the heart of the people of Israel from going over into the land that the Lord has given them?"
Here in Numbers, Moses is talking to the children of Israel. They're about ready to get over into the promised land. Now, of course, Moses is not going to get to go with them, but nevertheless, he's still their leader right now. Now, the tribes of Reuben and Gad were sheep herders. They had many herds, and the grasslands on this side of the Jordan River were good pasture land. And so they were asking Moses on this occasion if they could stay over on this side of the Jordan River. And Moses asked them the question, "Are you going to let your brothers go to war and you just sit here?" And he was told by the leaders of the tribes that if they would let them stay there and build their houses and build their sheep pens, then each man and every man, other than just a small group to stay there and guard the homeland, would go with the children of Israel and they would stay and fight until all the land was completed, completely taken. Well, Moses said that that would be acceptable. But the point that Moses was making was, we're in this together. We either do it together or we don't do it at all. And God, he said, has already given us this land. We didn't go take it one time. And if we don't go together, we won't go take it again. The lesson here is cooperation. Working together. And that's such a powerful thing, working together. In Genesis 12, God had promised the children of Israel the land. But he said, you've got to go and fight for it. He wanted them to have a part. He wanted them to do their part in completing the task. You know, this is something that is a necessity in no matter what field you're looking at. In the field of business, it's a cooperative effort to make the business successful. It takes different people in different departments doing different things to accomplish what needs to be done. We certainly see it in the world of athletics. In any team sport, cooperation is so important. Each man has a job to do. If they do their job right, a winning score can be achieved. A winning season can be achieved. And there have been so many incidences where there was dissension among the team. And a team that should have won lost badly. It's the same in education. To make a school run properly, you've got to have people in different positions doing different things, all accomplishing or seeking to accomplish the same goal. In the Bible, we have examples of what cooperation can do, none greater than the story we read in Nehemiah chapter 6. In Nehemiah, we read of how that it is an account of building the walls of Jerusalem. A monumental task, no doubt. And the people, the children of Israel, completed building the walls of Jerusalem. Now watch this. In 52 days. Now that's without the modern machinery. That would be an accomplishment with all of what we have at our access in a 21st century world. Not to say in a world where everything and all things had to be done by hand. But as we read this and see this unfold, Nehemiah tells us why. He said the walls were joined together in 52 days because the people had a mind to work. Cooperation, working together. Listen to what he says here in Nehemiah chapter 4. And I want to read beginning with verse 21. So we labored in the work, and half of the men held spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be on guard by night and work by day. So neither I or my brethren or my servants nor my men of the guard who followed me took off their clothes, except that everyone took them off to wash. The people had a mind to work. And may I be so bold as to add yet another word to that passage. They had a mind to work together. I think about how that we read in Genesis 11 about the Tower of Babel. Here was a case where the people had decided that they could build a tower and reach all the way to heaven, that they wouldn't even have to do what God said to do. Now, of course, we know without a question that that was impossible, but they didn't. They didn't know, and they just kept building it higher and higher and higher until finally God thwarted their efforts. And you know how he did it? Sure you do. He confused their speeches. He scattered them abroad because he said, these people can do whatever if they put their minds together. And so he separated them. What we can accomplish when we work together is just unbelievable. I think about another great example of working together to accomplish a particular goal. And that's in Matthew chapter 2, where we read about the paralytic whose four friends were determined that they were going to get him to see Jesus. And when they couldn't get in the door, they didn't fold up and go home. They climbed up on top of the house and tore the roof off where they could let their friend down on ropes on a pallet before Jesus, whom healed the man and forgave him of his sins. What an awesome accomplishment for friendship and for cooperation. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs verse 30 and verse 27, he said, the locusts have no king, yet they go forward, all of them gathered together. He was talking about cooperation. He said, they go forth. They go forth, all of them. They go forth, all of them, gathered together. One of the things that we are taught about the church is that the church is a body. It is the body of Jesus. In Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, We read, and he gave him to be head over all things, speaking about God, gave Jesus head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And with that thought in mind of the church being a body, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about this, the body of Christ. We being many, yet one body. For by the Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. For the fact the body is not one, but many. And he goes on to use this analogy of the physical body. In verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So what if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, verses 18, God has set the members in each of one of them in the body just as he pleased. And if all were of one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there's many members, yet but one body. What if you got up one morning and your left foot decided to go one direction and your right foot decided to go the other direction? You'd be in a pitiful shape, partner. But it didn't work that way, because there is synchronization. There is a oneness in the physical body. And that's what Paul is trying to say. That's the concept that God wants us to see about the church. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, it says, therefore, we are laborers together with God. In that passage, we find a great formula. We are laborers. We labor. Time and again, we're told, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're told that each one of us has a talent, and that each one of us are to use whatever talents we've got. We see that in the story, or the account that the Lord gives us about the man who gave out the three talents, 5, 2, and 1, and went in on a journey and then came back to take an account. The 5 had increased by 5, the 2 by 2. The one man had hidden his talent and had failed to use it and received a harsh condemnation because he had failed to labor, the Lord said, and put the money to use, and he should have what was his plus interest. When he came back, the Lord is looking for interest. He's looking for us to labor in the vineyard. And it says we labor together. It's a work of love. It's a work of necessity. It's a work of purpose. And the reason why, part of the reason why Jesus came was to bring all men together, Jews and Greeks and bond and free and male and female. For we are all one in Christ Jesus, he said. So trying to bring us together, labor together with God. Whatever we do, it has to include God if we are to be a success. The Lord himself said, what is it accomplished if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? Again, the wise man Solomon proposes, what If the Lord is not with the man who builds the house, his house will not be a success. With God, we have an opportunity because, again, we're told that that our God is stronger than the God of this world. I know sometimes it seems like evil is getting the upper hand, but I can assure you that my God is in it all and greater than this world. The story is told about a blind man who wanted to go a certain place, and there was a crippled man who wanted to go in the same destination. So alone they could not accomplish it. But the crippled man crawled on the blind man's back. The blind man did the walking. The crippled man did the seeing. And together they accomplished what they needed to accomplish. Working together. I heard a sad story one time, and it was true, of a father that went out into his wheat field with his son to check the field. And somehow the son had separated himself from the father. And in this wheat field, which was taller, of course, than the child, he got lost. The father realized finally that the son wasn't there. That can happen so easily sometimes. Frantically searched, calling out the boy's name. When he was unsuccessful, he ran hastily into the town and gathered a search party that came out and searched the field. To no avail. And finally, someone suggested that they join hands and walk across the field, hand in hand, searching every square foot of the field. And sadly, finally, they came upon the lifeless body of the little boy. As all gathered around, the silence was broken when someone said, "Isn't it a shame that we didn't join hands sooner?" How important it is for us as God's people to realize that we need to work together with God for a purpose greater than ourselves and greater than this world. So, the Master is calling. He's certainly enlisting in his army those that would fight on his side under his leadership. And he is indeed our commander in chief. And he will lead us to victory. I do know this, that Paul reminds us that it is as well an individual fight, and that each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. But it is also using our talents with my brother who uses his, with my sister who uses hers, with my brother who uses his, with my brother who uses his, until the fight is won. Can God count on you? Would you enlist in his army by being baptized for the remission of your sins, raised to work and walk and serve? Would you, if you have laid your armor down and have not been counted on, been able to be counted on, maybe because of your unfaithfulness, maybe because of your failure to use your talents, maybe because you've let the things of this world become more important, maybe because of the burdens and the heartaches of this life that have weighed you down, and taken your eye off of the purpose and the prize. Whatever it may be, if we can help you with your relationship with God, would you come while together we stand and sing?